You know, until the Lord comes back to get to church, the Holy Spirit's available, and I believe God wants us to have it. You see, I believe God wants to bless His people. He wants to bless churches, and He wants to pour out His love and kindness, and He wants to help people that need help and guide people that need guidance. And people would call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says they'd be saved. The Bible teaches they'd find help and they'd find direction. Really enjoyed all the singing this morning. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, there's something about being a Christian that I want you to understand. It's real. There is a God, and we're not Him. And, you know, our lives, they seem to go by quicker and quicker. Another Christmas, another year, just about the time you get used to writing the right date down. Now, I'm one of them that still writes checks, see. So I got to be careful next week. But doesn't time go by quick? Older we get, seems like it goes by quicker, then you realize that you're not going to be here forever. We weren't ever intended to stay here forever, but to fulfill the mission and the path that God has for us in this life. And ultimately what that is I believe God wanted children. God wants you. And God wants you to have a relationship with Him, and He wants your life to be lived in such a way that it honors Him. If you got your Bible, I want to read the scripture that God has laid on my heart. I've thought about this scripture every day for a week and a half, and it's in Matthew chapter number 7. It's the red writing. You know, you open your Bible, and typically the red writing indicates the words that Jesus spoke. And these are words that Jesus spoke to the people. I want to read in the 13th verse, and I want to start about the talk about the straight gate and the narrow gate and give you the thought that's on my heart this morning. You know, as we enter 2024, a lot of people, they begin to think about, you know, things they need to do, what they need to do different. What do I need to make New Year's resolutions? You know, they make a resolution. It's almost, and these are done with good intentions. But they say, you know, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do different. Sometimes, you know, you eat so much Christmas cake and ham and all that stuff. There's a whole lot of people say, my New Year's resolution is I'm going to lose so many pounds, and they fill in the blank. You know, we all think about that. I think about it. I'll be honest with you. I don't think about it much as I used to. I've realized living this stressful life, I need a little more weight on me just to keep me balanced. You can get too skinny, and then you're not healthy, see. That's kind of what I've convinced myself of. But, you know, people think about a lot of things. They think, you know, I'm gonna have to make some changes in my life. I need to get rid of this, or I need to stop doing that. You know, most of the time, it's probably bad habits that they've picked up. Doesn't the Bible say in one place, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners? You know, sometimes I've said this, and I used to be a youth preacher years ago. I'm not a youth preacher anymore. In fact, I had a birthday, and I tell people I'm the same age now that my dad was when he passed away. And it's kind of a milestone birthday for me as I think about it, because I think about I've had about as much time as my dad had. But, you know, speaking to young people, sometimes I used to tell them, you know, you got to be careful. I can tell a lot about who you're hanging around by the things you're doing. Because, you know, you wouldn't be doing the things you're doing or acting the way you're acting if you hadn't been hanging around with the wrong people. And sometimes people say, well, you know, I have intentions of I'm going to do better. If you're going to do better, you're going to have to do it with God's help. Because when people decide that they're going to do better and they intend to do something, it's a lot like that man who went and he was convicted and he got close, but he didn't get what he needed. Because the Bible says in one place, when the unclean spirit It's drawn out of a man. It walks through dry places seeking rest. This is the unclean spirit. This is Satan. It's the works of evil. When the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest, and he finds none. And then he returneth, and he finds that place where it was at. That's our temple. That's our body. Empty, swept, and garnished. But the key word is empty. Empty is you're close enough to get saved because the evil has been stopped in your life that you can hear the gospel, but you've never made a step down to accept Christ. Amen. He said he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Then that unclean spirit goes and taketh to itself seven more spirits, more wicked than itself, and it comes and it dwells therein. And the Bible says the last state of that man is worse than the first. That's what happened when people make resolutions without God. I'm going to quit drinking. I'm going to quit drugging. I'm going to quit hanging around with that crowd. What you need is a dose of Jesus Christ. You need to get saved by the grace of God. You need the power of God to enter into your life. Because when it does, your want-tos are going to change. Your attitude's going to change because you're going to have a different driver in your life. Now, I just quoted that verse. I can give it to you after church if you'd like it. Just come see me. Thank God for a computer on my phone. Amen. I believe every person needs Jesus. But I think for 2024, if we're going to have a good year, we need to get started right. A lot of times what causes people to end up in a bad place is they get started wrong. You know, they get started wrong because they start off dating the wrong person. You know, I tell my boys, if ain't the marrying kind, they ain't the dating kind.
That's right. Amen.
What about them friends? Bible says, choose a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There's another place that says, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. Now, I'll say this, and I'm going to read in just a minute, but, you know, I believe the family of God is a family. And we come together here, and we bear one another's burdens. We lift one another up. We love one another. We pray for one another when we're hurting. And sometimes the reality of it is we're in such a hurry to get back to the house of God because them get-togethers y'all had at Christmas wasn't holy. And you're around some of them people that didn't love you the way the people of God do. Sometimes that's the way it is in some people's lives. You know that the friends that we hang around with and the people we hang around with are going to do one or two things. You're either going to impact them and draw them to God, or they're going to impact you and pull you away from God. I remember one time there was a young girl in our youth group when I was growing up, and she went to parties all the time. And she said, oh, I'm still a Christian. I'm going trying to be a witness to them. I said, that is going to impact you. It's going to pull you down. It's going to hurt you. And what kind of testimony do you have? Yeah. Being in those places. Now, y'all know already I'm old-fashioned. That's all right. I believe the Bible. Now, I want to read you something Jesus said right here. 7th chapter and the 13th verse says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And Jesus said, few there be that find it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, 14. You know, when I look at this scripture, it talks about a straight gate, a narrow way. And then it talks about a wide gate or a broad way. And, you know, the straight and the narrow way, it leads to life. And the broad way or the wide gate, it leads to destruction. And what we're forced to do is he speaks in and he begins in the 13th verse. He said, enter in at the straight gate. Now here's something I think we need to understand. Is if we choose the right direction, we're a whole lot more likely to have good results. And the thing about it, here's the thing about Christianity. Every person has the opportunity to choose. Nobody's going to force you to be a Christian. Nobody's going to force you when you begin to the point that you're making a decision. Sometimes people want to blame somebody else for the decisions that they've made. I heard a man recently, he was actually trying to blame God for the decisions that he'd made. He had heard some rotten doctrine, and he said, the reality of it is I was made to do these things, and God has rejected me, and that's why that I'm the way that I am. There's no Bible for that, folks. The Bible says you got to choose which way that you're going to go, and if you want to end up right, then I believe you need to start right. That means that your foundation must be built on truth. You know, some people today in the time that we're living in, and you know, you know, it's amazing how the higher you go sometimes in education, the less you get. You know, if you study some of the history of some of the great colleges and universities in this nation, you find that many of them, their foundation was in Christianity and in truth. And as they got further and further along, they drift further and further away from God until their definition and their explanation of truth has become so vague that just about anything goes. There's a word called existentialism that I studied when I was in school, and basically it's an abstractness to where whatever you think goes, and if you feel good enough about it and if it's right enough, then it's acceptable. It's like going to art museums when it looks like somebody took a gallon of paint and slung it on a wall and hit it with three sticks and they want $500,000 for it. I was at an art museum one time and I was walking through with a lady, it was a customer, and she said, what is that? I said, that is existentialism. It looks pretty funny to me. But I want to tell you something based on the Word of God. There is a truth. His name is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except by me. And in the day and time that you and I are living in, it does not matter if we're about to enter 2024. God has not changed. Your foundation must be built on truth, and I believe if you're going to have the life that God wants you to have, it is impossible for you to have it without your foundation being built on God. You know, we're living in a time today where it seems like more and more people think that they can make it on their own. You know, we talk about it in the world, but what about amongst people who say sometimes even that they believe in God? It's almost like my health is so good and my bank account is so full and my calendar is so full that I just don't need God anymore. Folks, I need God every day. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says this. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. That same verse, exact same verse, is found in Proverbs 16, 25. But if you come to Proverbs 14 and you've got this 12th verse, you go to the previous verse, verse number 11, and here's what it says. It says, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. You know, the question is, can we really expect to have the blessing of God, the peace of God, the truth of God, and not be following God's path for our life? You know, so many times people say, you know, I want God to bless my home. I want God to bless my marriage. I want God to bless my career and my work. And I want God to bless this and I want God to bless that. And God wants to bless those things in your life, and He can. But He wants to be first in your life. You know, I believe that God hears our prayers and He cares about us. And sometimes, and I like that verse in Psalms 103, says, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth those that fear him. You know, sometimes when I'm looking at my children and my grandchildren and I'm watching them grow and I see the growing pains and I see the bad decisions, and I'm just going to tell you the truth, I see them hurt, it hurts me. It makes me hurt to see them hurt. I don't care what the reason is. I don't care if it's a bad decision. I don't care if they've done something that they shouldn't have done and they're learning a lesson. I'll tell you what a daddy wants to do. He wants to sweep down under them and catch them before they hit the ground. But sometimes the reality of it is, and all that is as a father, folks, is a picture of how God loves you. That's the only reason I said that. As God looks at you and he cares about you and he gives us this scripture and he gives us these warnings and he tells us not to depend upon ourselves and tells us not to think that we can have ultimate life without truth or without a relationship with him, and he's right there to sweep down under us and catch us. Well, like I heard somebody tell me one time, you cannot protect your children from the consequences of their actions. And you know that God, as much as he loves you, he can't protect you from the consequences of yours. There's a verse in Galatians chapter number 6 and verse 7 that says this: be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know the principles of sowing. You know the principles of sowing are these: you get what you sow. More than you sow, and later than you sow. Now, if anybody's ever planted a garden, or, you know, some of you ladies might like to plant flowers, and, you know, some of you guys like me, the only thing I plant is food plots. But when I go down there and I'm looking at my food plots, I would be surprised if I had sown oats and ryegrass, and I go and there's wildflowers or sunflowers coming up. But are we surprised in our life if the things that we sow begin to come up and then we begin to look and see where God's at? God forbid that we even blame him for the things that we've sown in our own lives. And it goes back to the same question. Can man go the right way without God? You know, in America today, and I will say this, and I'm going to move on into just a couple of things. Folks, God has blessed America. America is here for a purpose, for a reason. This nation has had God's hand on it just amazingly. The more I look at it, the more I realize how God has blessed us, how he has blessed this nation, only about 250 years old. How that the missionary work has gone out, how that we have been able to see Israel return to the homeland, the world wars that we have fought, and the people that we have been able to overcome, and we think that we're great. No, it is because God's hand of blessing has been on this nation. And even though you turn on the news and you're trying to watch your favorite show and these ungodly commercials come on and it just seems like the world's running rampant, I want to tell you something. And the reason why is because the devil knows that he has but a short time and he's running rampant doing everything he can to deceive. But I want to tell you right now, all across America, there's churches just like this one where people are getting together and crying out to God. And it's the prayers of mothers and daddies and the saints of God that are still holding it. And I want to tell you something else. It's still the greatest nation on earth. Why? Because of what God's done. It's not our technology. It's not our military might. It is because God has reached down with his hand and put it on this nation. Now, if that's true, how can I expect God to bless my home, my life, the things that I do, if I haven't asked him to put his hand on me? He said, enter in at the straight gate. Is it possible that man can go the right way without God? Sometimes people say, well, you know, they seem to be doing pretty good over there. Are you looking at worldly success? Are you looking at worldly fame? Are you looking at how much fun that you think you can have? You know, the Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a season. But the seasons end. You know, what I'm talking about goes far beyond that. Goes far beyond our life and what we're able to really accomplish on our own. What I'm talking about is the future of your soul. You see, because man has a body and he has a soul and he has a spirit. much, much more valuable than the birds and the sparrows that God clothes and takes care of. See, God wants us for eternity, and that's why when Jesus spoke and looked at the people, and they're questioning, and you know, so many times in our lives we question and we face things that we don't understand. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I just want to give you just a few things that we must do, and I've already said this, you must start with God. You can't start without God and expect things to end right. I, you know, had the opportunity to go to a couple of weddings lately, and Kendra was showing me one yesterday where all of the bridesmaids and the mothers from both sides had come into the room where the bride was sitting, and she was in her gown, and they all gathered around her and they laid hands on her and they began to pray. Why do we pray? Because we want what God has for us. They begin to pray over the bride, and they begin to pray over the groom. And how can it be blessed without God? There's a song in our red book says, where could I go but to the Lord? Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving along to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? You know, it must start with God. Then I believe as Christians, and, you know, I like what you said, Brother Mike, about sometimes the doubt. You know, old John wasn't the only one. Old Thomas, he said, well, you know, I got to see it. I got to be able to put my finger in his palm. You know, what we got to do as Christians is we start with God, but we got to learn how to walk with God. You know, there's a lot of people that say, and can I say this? Being saved don't make you the Apostle Paul. Some of y'all more like Peter. I'm afraid sometimes I'm going to get my ears boxed if I say this wrong thing. What do we need to walk with God? We need God's grace. We need God's direction. We need God's hand. Remember, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Sometimes God has to speak to me, and I get alone with Him. And I ask Him to put His hand on me and put His hand on my life. And sometimes I've even asked God to put His hand over my mouth. Put His hand on my mind and put His hand on my heart. Because as I'm learning how to walk with God and I'm learning how to live a life that's pleasing unto God, the next thing I must do is I must learn how to follow God. You see, because sometimes what we do in this life, and this is the challenge that we have and the temptation, is we see so much going on around us and so much pull and so much being accepted here and so much over there that we'll end up making decisions contrary to the Word of God because there's so much outside influence. Sometimes it's because we have so much emotion within ourselves that we have to ask God to help us get rid of ourselves so that the Holy Spirit could actually be what guides us. You see, when you follow God, there are some things sometimes that you need to do. There are some things that need to be done. And I tell you, as I get older and I look at life and I understand that this life here is temporal. And now, I know when you're young, you don't think that. I remember when I was 15, it was the longest summer of my life. You know, summer's only two and a half months. It was years. I wasn't old enough to drive. I couldn't go get a job. I wanted to work, and I thought I was invincible. Back in those days, we had a one-story house, folks. It wasn't a three-story, okay? But I'd get on top of the house. I could jump off the house. I get in the back of the truck and jump out and turn flips. I didn't hurt. Play tackle football in the yard and hop right up. But as I get older, I realize I'm not going to live forever. And as I realize things are happening in my body, let me tell you, folks, there's things happening in my spirit. God is showing me that I need to show grace. He's showing me that I need to be forgiving. He's showing me that I need to be caring. He's showing me that sometimes when I was younger, the things that I used to get really upset about probably wasn't worth getting upset about. One time I got a call from my wife and she was upset, very upset. And she had had an accident. And I did my absolute best to calm her down. And after I got there and I talked to her, and she said something to me along these lines. She said, "I was so upset to tell you, because sometimes the way you act over the little things, I didn't know how you'd be when it was something big." But some of y'all chuckle because y'all guilty. But I want to tell you, it spoke to my heart and my mind and let me know that sometimes in this life, as Christians, when we're learning to walk with God and to follow God, we need to understand you've only got so much time to show grace and mercy and goodness to the people in your life that God's given you. And it could even be somebody that you don't know. When you do something in good intentions and then people actually don't appreciate it and do right by it, remember, you've done it for the honor and glory of God. We got to learn how to follow God. Give grace, give forgiveness. But can I tell you lastly, most importantly, we got to learn how to end with God. You know, you say, "Well, I've got plenty of time." Unfortunately, you don't know. Red Riding, Revelation 22:13, the scripture said, Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." One thing for certain, we're talking about getting started right, because if you get started right, you're going to end right, and you're going to be able to head in the right direction, you're going to be able to do the right things. But most importantly, why do we want to have a relationship with God? Because your life's going to come to an end, and you're going to stand before God. And you're going to realize that you need him. I know people today, they act like there is no God. They don't need God. They even go on and write long posts about how they've done it themselves. They've made it. Everybody else didn't get it because they weren't like them and they didn't grab it and they didn't do this and they didn't do that. I can tell you, I don't care how smart they are, how many degrees they've got. I don't care of what they were able to accomplish in this life. When you die, you ain't taking it with you. And you're going to stand before God. And it really helps us understand there's a God, we're not him. I need to start with God. I need to walk with God, and I need to follow God. And I need to die prepared to meet God. You know, I love to see the testimony of somebody that says, "I know him. I met him. He changed my life. I'm glad I know the Lord." And can I say this morning? I don't know who's saved and who's not. You know, I know that I am. And that's really what's important. And you need to know that you are. But can I tell you this based on what the Word of God says? The Word of God said, "Enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Based on what I read in the Word of God, when I see people that are on the wrong road, always sowing the wrong seed, always doing the wrong things, Doesn't seem to be any conviction. They don't love Jesus. They don't love the things of God. You know what that kind of suggests? Maybe it's because they don't know Jesus. Maybe the wrong road and being on the wrong road is so common for you and you can't get off of it because you've never been saved. You know what that really means when we get right down to the end? To end with God is you're going to end without God. And you think, oh, I'm all right, I've got plenty of time. I want to tell you, have you ever asked anybody the direct question, do you know Jesus? Have you ever been saved? Can you tell me about when you met the Lord? And they say, oh, I'm okay. I want to tell you, if you've never been saved, you're not okay. You need Jesus. Folks, I've been saved since I was 12, and I still have to pray that God would guide me and help me to follow him. But he ain't never left me since. Times in my life, growing up, even in my teenage years, if I was somewhere I wasn't supposed to be, I wasn't worried. I knew my mom and dad whooped me, but that didn't last too long. Now, my mother was worse than my dad, but we're not going to get into that. But you know, Brother Tom, that's really not what concerned me. It was when the Holy Spirit would speak to my heart. Folks, I'm going to tell you, more than one time as a teenager, saved, I'd be somewhere I wasn't supposed to be. And the Holy Spirit of God speak to my heart. I remember one time in particular, I was in this place. And the Holy Spirit of God spoke to me. And he said, would you want me to come back and find you right here? I didn't look around to see if mama had come in the back door. I knew who it was. Because it was that same voice that spoke to me down at Welcome Hill Baptist Church and drew me to an altar. If you don't have that voice speaking to you, guiding you, helping you down the right path, then you need to be saved. I'm going to ask you if you would to rise to your feet. I still believe that God is in the saving business. Here's the good news. The good news is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And here's a verse I love. For as many shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The good news is this. You can still be saved. You can still have a relationship with God. And if you're struggling and you need God to help you and you've got doubts in your life, which we've all had, then you can still come to God and get strength. Good news again is you're in a church where people love Jesus. You're in a church where people right now at this moment would like nothing better than to be able to pray with you because they love you. There's people here right now that would give, they just love to have the opportunity to help you get the peace you need in your life. These altars are open. Now, folks, you can pray where you're at. But when you take a step, I just believe it's a step of faith. And it means something to God. And there's no judgment here in these altars because we all need Jesus. And every person that got saved once was lost. While she sings, if you'd like to pray, would you please come?